Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau here, and welcome back to another episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and everything church-related. We have as our guest today Richard Ruling. He is a prophecy expert. We've been interviewing him, and he has said some things that may be controversial, some things you may not agree with, but the purpose of bringing all this out is so you can go into your Bible and research what he's sharing with us, and you make your decision. Because if it's in the Word, then you got to pray about it, okay? We're going to jump right back into this interview with Richard Ruling and the end time prophecies. Is the soon return of Jesus very near? And we're going to start off with a question about abortion, and we're going to jump right back into it right now.
Amen. We just mentioned abortions a few minutes ago. I have to agree with your assessment on abortion in this country. I mean, 60 million babies have been basically murdered just for the convenience of the men and women to continue their lifestyles without worrying about children, you know. Blood spilled for the sake of convenience. How does that relate to the offerings made to Moloch?
Same idea, and we've done that. And I also think our educational system is an offering made to Moloch. We're sacrificing our kids to bad education in public schools with all the LBJT or whatever it is. Transgender. This is insane. If you love your kids, it says in Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt teach them." If you brought them into the world, we have a responsibility. And I just think it's getting tougher and tougher. But the Bible either is meaningful or meaningless, and we have to decide ultimately. I believe the last 7 years are to drive us toward God in repentance or away from Him if we're really hardened against repentance. But it's going to be bad news if we go away from God. We've got to go towards Him.
Yeah. Let's get into a few more specific questions, which I believe your background and your research will qualify to answer. Is the United States in Bible prophecy?
I believe it is several places in Bible prophecy, and I'll take it chronologically. Christ said when he was asked about the end of the world in Matthew 25, verse 15, to understand the book of Daniel, and in Daniel 8, we have a vision of a ram and a goat, which clearly says in verse 20 that the horns on the ram are the kings of Media and Persia. And the goat is the horn on the goat is the first king of Grecia, but Gabriel tells Daniel in verse 17, this vision is at the time of the end, and the Medes and Persians geographically today are Iraq and Iran, and we've already brought this halfway fulfilled. We've already done Iraq. I would bet every dollar I have that we're going to go to war against Iran, which, by the way, will not cooperate with the New World Order and their currency plan. So they are targeted, for one reason or another. But they're also anti-Israel. And once they clobber Jerusalem, I think the U.S., the goat with the big horn, Trump, they used to make trumpets out of horns. So the big horn could be trumpet. God is just incredible in his ability to match all this stuff up. So I believe that we will be the goat with that could represent a coalition, with Britain helping us, et cetera. In fact, that chapter, when the big horn breaks, it says four more spring up, and the marginal reading on Daniel 8:8 goes back to Daniel 7, where there's a lion with eagle's wings. Yeah. Well, we got the eagle's wings, and UK is the lion symbol. So I wrote an article actually a couple years ago saying that Brexit would work before it ever really was voted, because I saw when the question came up, the Bible supports that.
Amen.
Okay, that's Daniel 8. I believe that we are also in Daniel 11, verse 40, at the time of the end. It says the king of the south will push at the king of the north, and the king of the north overflows the king of the south. I need to explain that I was taught that Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome all came from the north to fight Egypt, the king of the south. And depending on which time period it was, in Ezekiel 26, verse 7, I believe it is, says that the king of the north is Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the king that came from the north. But in the end time, the Babylon in the end time, Revelation 17, verse 5, it says this harlot is mystery Babylon, right. Mother of harlots, and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, half a dozen clues to me only fit the papacy as king of the north. Yeah. You know, that power was in bed with kings and governments. Well, that's the only church that's really involved with governments, you know. And it says she's decked with scarlet, well, color of cardinals, and she's decked with gold, wealthy, and she's stolen the gold from people in Germany that were sent to the gas chambers, and they took their gold out of their teeth, etc. She is, mother of harlots, a mother church, basically, sitting on seven hills in verse 9.
Yep.
And so all of those clues fit the papacy only, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so in the end time, the king of the north will overflow America. And, you know, Maryland surrounds D.C., Maryland, you know, yeah. And we've got that picture very well filled out, and Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, I believe, by Catholic influence, and Charles Chiniquy wrote a book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, defended by Abe Lincoln, was afraid for Abe Lincoln, said in his book that already, and this is mid-1800s, that the Jesuits were largely in control of many cities in the U.S. So, you know, huge statement. In fact, I'll go one more. Alberto Rivera, a converted Jesuit, published some books by Chick Publication, and his book on the Godfathers says that the sign to Jesuits worldwide that they were in control of Washington would be when a president took his vows or oath of office facing an obelisk. And for the first time, Reagan faced the obelisk on the west side of the Capitol in the 1980 or 84, wow. Whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So they've been in control, and since then, each president has faced the obelisk.
Mm.
So symbol of Rome, which also has the obelisk. So a lot of imagery here, but I think it's meaningful, not meaningless. You know, basically.
Yeah. And with the concerning the popes, I can't remember the person's name, but the prophecy is that we are at the last pope right now. When they list,
yeah, Malachi,
yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We're there now. I mean, that's the last pope.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I was watching this past week a video online by someone that I've appreciated, David Gates, and he was telling how that he struggled understanding the prophecy in Revelation 17 about the five kings are fallen, one is, the other's not yet come, one he's come, it'll be a short time, and then he's even of the eighth. He explained that the way it is this pope is of the beast. The pope's sister said 3 days after he was appointed as the pope that he's not the same guy as I grew up with.
Yeah.
And David Gates' statement was he is possessed, really demonically possessed. He worships Lucifer. You can see it online if you type in Vatican worships Lucifer, a short video where they sing praises to Lucifer and Christ is your son, etc. Just a really messed up situation.
I don't know if you've seen the information. There's a papal observatory. I believe it's in New Mexico or Arizona.
And yeah,
it's called Arizona. Lucifer. Yeah. It's that's the name,
wow.
Lucifer. You know, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's Lucifer.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm names you had to pick. Yeah. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen.
We're there, and bottom line is that they have done so many things wrong and look so good to so many millions, but it's just very superficial.
Amen. Amen. Let's go on with our questions here. Let's talk again about Matthew 24 and 25. When you read those verses, do you see this happening today, or is this an event shortly into the future? By shortly, I mean, you know, 10 years or less? Or are we like halfway through it? You know, because you have pre-trib, mid-trib, end-of-trib, you know,
okay,
all that.
Good. Appreciate your question, and I really, sometimes we get sidetracked and we don't get through it all, but I believe that the events of 2015, where the sun was darkened, moon turned to blood, peace and safety, gay marriage in the Supreme Court, Mark 13, verse 14, I like the translation a little better. It says, when you see the abomination standing where it ought not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gay marriage is an abomination according to Leviticus 18, verse 22. It calls it an abomination. Verse 25 says the land will vomit you out. And it was standing where it ought not in the Supreme Court. And then came the Pope to the U.S. Congress. Also, the abomination standing where it ought not. Okay, he ought not to be in the U.S. Congress, because we believe in separation of church and state. People have the freedom to go any direction. The Pope is trying to control everybody, and that's what they did in the old world order. And by the way, you asked a question that we didn't get to fully. In Revelation, the U.S. is, I believe, the second beast of Revelation 13, the lamb-like beast who came up out of the earth, not out of the sea. The sea in the Bible prophecy represents peoples and tongues and nations and multitudes, according to Revelation 17, where the harlot sits on these waters, or multitudes, peoples, and so on. But the U.S. came out of an unpopulated area, out of the earth. It has two horns, but they're uncrowned. A government without a king and a church without a pope, Protestant America. Mm. But it speaks like a dragon, and it makes laws like a dragon, and causes fire to come down like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it causes the world to make an image of the previous beast, the papal beast. New World Order is the image we have made and are making out of the to the old world, you know, in other words, and the Pope will be in charge. The imagery of Revelation 17 is that the woman is riding a beast, a government system, okay, and it looks like the one made to the papacy in Revelation 13. So that's where I see America as the last time in prophecy, is the lamb-like beast making an image, new world order, and the new world order is what causes everybody to be marked and so on.
Right.
It's the UN stuff, okay?
And we can see, they have the technology for that now, you know, bio-microchips and all that other good stuff.
Yes, it's all coming soon. And to get back to your question on where are we in Matthew's 24, I believe that Titus came with destruction in 70 AD, but before he came, 3.5 years earlier, Festus, a Roman general, came and unexpectedly withdrew. And I believe that was the sign for Christians. They understood the sign, and they fled Jerusalem and were spared the siege when Titus came. Hmm. I believe that sign was given us by 2015. When the Pope stood where he ought not, it was the abomination. And I believe that people living in big cities now are going to get the event coming will involve, I think, martial law is going to be so big. And so that when it says two in the field, one taken, the other left, they will find you somewhere, you know. And if your philosophy or your record of you, you know, I'm glad I'm living in rural Arizona right now, not in Phoenix, someplace, you know, where I believe it's safe for the time being, basically, you know, but I believe that they're going to be after us sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have no doubt that we'll step on enough toes that, you know, we are so politically incorrect that, you know, they'll want to shut down, especially with this podcasts and things on the internet. They can't control it unless they control the internet.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
But yeah, I agree. I was just looking up while you're talking the word Lucifer. See if I can read this correctly here off the internet. It stands for large binocular telescope near infrared utility with camera and integral field unit for extragalactic research. So, and it's called Lucifer. So.
Wow.
I mean, of all the names for the Vatican to pick, you know, I mean, I can't be any more plainer than that. Okay.
Well, the word Vatican, by the way, means divining serpent.
Oh, is that right?
Divining.
I did not know that.
Yeah, also. Amen. Yeah, amen. Vaticanus.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, what do you consider the linchpin as to the beginning of basically the countdown? What one thing either has occurred already or is about to occur that tells us we have entered the official end times?
Well, I believe the heads up, let me back up and say that 170 some years ago, a Baptist preacher began a message which at least 50,000 people embraced, and they gave two messages: a message of impending judgment and the bridegroom comes. They thought they would be raptured. Mm-hmm. Both messages were disappointed, but I believe that they are endorsed in Scripture in Revelation 10, where John was given a little book and told to eat it, and it gave him a bitter belly. Mm-hmm. And the point is that the little book that he was given is probably Daniel, because the imagery of a man with a land and foot on the sea is ownership. That's Christ. And the Daniel 12th chapter has the same imagery as mm-hmm. Daniel as Revelation 10.
Right.
So I believe it was the Millerite movement that was endorsed there, but tells John, who typifies the remnant, because John was not martyred. He survived mm-hmm. martyrdom.
Yep.
And Christ tells him after the bitter belly, you must prophesy again.
Mm-hmm.
Adventism grew out of them, but they don't want to prophesy again. They're not interested in those messages. But I'm saying those two messages of impending judgment and the bridegroom's coming, if we would give them with understanding, we would be ready for what's impending. And I believe judgment is impending. By the way, the word judgment in Revelation 14:7, the Greek word is crisis, spelled with a K, K-R-I-S-I-S, time of crisis. Well, the whole world's in a crisis. So, yes, that message is certainly on target. And the second one about the bridegroom coming, if we understand the wedding parables as a covenant relationship and that God is going to execute judgment on America, and if we're ready immediately in Luke 36, when I come and knock, and the Bible interprets itself, I believe, as its own expositor, and the only other place where Christ knocks is Revelation 3:20. Everybody knows it, and we have a good meaning that Christ is knocking at the door of our heart, and that if we, in every decision, if we would honor him, we can be guided in our life. But also, the Bible is a book, Revelation is a book of endings. It's about the apocalypse and how things are going to turn out. And my question to most people is, how did that church, that lukewarm church where Christ was knocking in Asia Minor, mm-hmm. how did it end? And
yeah.
most people don't know it ended in an earthquake. Okay,
mm-hmm.
hello?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing us as multiple places in the book of Revelation, and
yeah.
we are right now before the earthquake that I believe will initiate the end times. And the real heads-up sign, to get back to your question, is if we see the destruction of Jerusalem at first Passover, like historically occurred, when Titus came, it was Passover when he surrounded the city. He got the maximum amount of Jews in that city when he started his siege. The real destruction occurred later, but the trap was set at Passover, which was the time that Christ accepted judgment. It was the time that Egypt got judgment. I believe it's the time of judgment for our world today. And if we see Jerusalem in April getting judgment, we're, I believe, the following month, because as the days of Noah, and the other phrase that needs explanation really is at the end of the ten virgins, when it says watch, you don't know, the word watch means be awake, and it's linked to Passover, but you don't know means aido, be aware, consider, understand. It's like you're not understanding. And he says, for the kingdom of heaven's like a man traveling to a far country. And the point is that Israelites did not travel in winter. But if they took a long journey in spring, they couldn't get back in time for Passover, and they were to keep it the second month. So it's a clue, like the days of Noah, the flood came in second month, and so as a man traveling to a far country, those clues do support a second month Passover. And I believe if Christ comes in judgment on America at second Passover, it should convince the Jews, if they're really honest, that he really was the master who took the long journey to heaven and is returning on time for second Passover.
Amen. So you see an earthquake in Jerusalem is basically signaling that, hey, we're here, right?
I believe that the it says in Zechariah 14, 1 and 2, the day of the Lord comes, and I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Okay. I believe that will be first Passover, that okay. we see that. But then it says the Lord goes forth to fight against them. I think he will roar from Jerusalem. It says in Joel 3:16. I believe that roar is an earthquake. The heavens and earth will shake. I believe that's second Passover, and that's the knock that we should open at immediately. And I believe keep a feast of unleavened bread. Not crackers, not about communion wafers. It's really about the fact that Christ said in Matthew 16, verse 12, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, speaking of their doctrines. Mm-hmm. And the point is that the churches have leavened God and the bread, so to speak,
yeah.
So that we don't have to keep Passover. My point is we don't need to do services and kill lambs. But it was a time of judgment, and Christ did the Lord's Supper on the eve of Passover. I believe he said, this is my body, my blood, and we could do that in memorial, not necessarily weekly like the Catholics or monthly or quarterly, but one night a year, why not on the anniversary of when he said, and we would be perfectly ready for judgment at that time, in my opinion,
yeah.
except that I'm saying that the modification is second Passover for us, because he is the master who will be returning from the long journey at that time.
Amen. Well, how do you relate all this to 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 10? Basically, you know, believers are assured, you know, that they're the children of light and not darkness,
okay.
and they're comforted with the promise that, you know, the day of wrath
good.
Will not come upon them as it will upon the rest of the
good.
World.
Good. Let's back up and include the context. It starts in verse 1 with a phrase that is only used two other times in the Bible. In Daniel 2, verse 21, God appoints the times and seasons to kingdoms. And when the disciples wanted to know, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Christ's reply was, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. But Paul says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write, for you know perfectly. Well, what's the difference? Christ tells the disciples they don't know, and Paul tells them they do. But Paul's context was he was putting himself into the end time with us. He said, we which are alive and remain will be caught up and be with the Lord. And of the times and seasons, you don't need any. In other words, he thought that maybe he would be in the group. I don't know. But the bottom line is, in the end time, when it's really going to happen, we should know those times and seasons. And that's what makes us children of the light at that point. And it really is, in his imagery, as travail, when he says sudden destruction comes as travail on a woman with child, Egypt travailed with God's firstborn. God called Israel his firstborn in Exodus 4, verse 22, and Egypt went through real labor pains, mm-hmm. but delivered the baby. Yes. And I believe when you ask me again why I see this spring as it, I gave you some of the signs from 2015, like peace
yeah.
and safety, but peace
yeah.
and safety was updated last year when the UN, on the UN official International Day of Peace, September 21, had celebrated the Day of Peace, and their theme for the year included those words, peace and safety.
Mm.
And 2 days later, the great sign of Revelation 12 was in the sky. And I need to explain it for your listeners, but if you go to YouTube and you type in great sign, you might even type in Revelation 12, you can see a one-minute video which shows how astronomers describe a rare convergence of planets and constellations that meet the description of Revelation 12.
Wow.
A woman, and the only woman in the, of all the constellations, there's only one woman, Virgo, okay?
Uh-huh.
And she had, ordinarily, Leo is just above her with nine stars, but Leo on September 23 had three planets as well. So there were 12 stars crowning Virgo, a crown of 12 stars, and she was clothed in the sun because the sun was in Virgo last September 23. It is not now, okay? But it every month it changes, you know. But
right.
on September 23, the sun was in Virgo. She was clothed with the sun, moon at her feet. And then in her womb or belly area was the king star, Jupiter, okay, the king's planet, okay? And he exited after 9 months. Incredible that God would have that Jupiter in that area, and it went between her feet after 9 months. My point is that only God can do that.
Wow.
And the people that were looking for a rapture were disappointed, and you have hardly heard anything about it since then. But I believe that God does not put a sign bridge out on the bridge.
Yeah.
He puts it down the road before we get there. And I believe the 9 months fit perfectly with my scenario about second Passover this coming spring, and then Pentecost 50 days later. It makes the 9 months. Pentecost is when Israel became a nation, a kingdom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we can become his kingdom by making a covenant with him. If we see, first of all, Jerusalem destroyed this spring, or, you know, in battle, and then a month later, an earthquake that shakes the whole world, hey, we're there. This is it. And we must open immediately, I believe, with a Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is not about crackers. It's about topics that God has emphasized seven times. And I'll give you a couple examples. First of all, if you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, you'll see Lord in all capital letters seven times in the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sad fact is that translators took God's name out of Scripture and replaced it with a generic title, Lord.
Ah, folks, this is Pastor Bob here again. Golly, we're all out of time again for today. But don't worry, come back, because we're going to have one more episode with Richard Ruling. I find prophecy fascinating. I love hearing different takes on prophecy. You may not agree with everything that's being said, but the purpose of all this is to get you into your Bible so you can study it out for yourself. Amen? Don't forget to come back tomorrow. We're going to wrap up our interview with Richard Ruling for right now. And until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.